It's good to be back with y'all. Praise the Lord. We have a place that we could come together with one another and fellowship and love on one another. And it is a sweet sound, I know, to my ears. And I could only imagine what God thinks of these things and how they ring through eternity. And, you know, if we think in light of just temporal things, we miss the mark a little, don't we? But whenever we think a light of eternal things and what joy that you and I can bring to the Lord, that our life could be pleasing to Him, that it can be what we're talking about this morning. It's a sweet smelling savor, that it can be one that is pleasing and it reigns and rings through eternity. If we are diligent to do what it is that God has asked us to do. What a blessing it is to be able to serve Him and to serve with you all, because there is much truth in the fact that I need you all to lift my arms up in those moments, just like you need each other to do the same. And what a joy it is to be able to join you guys in ministry. And this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about ministry. So if you would go ahead, let's turn back into Romans 12. We'll be there for just a moment. Romans chapter 12. I'm sure you guys are already there because you were predicting that. I was not there. I was in our other verse. Romans 12, and we'll start at the very beginning of verse number 7. Romans 12, 7, it says, our ministry, or ministry, as he's going through the list of gifts according to the grace that's given to us, he says, first, prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is so clear to help us, to teach us, to help us to walk with you. Father, that your word is living. Lord, that we can go to it and you can take and you can convict and encourage and strengthen and sanctify. And Lord, there is no doubt in my mind that your word is inspired by you, that men may have penned it, but this is the only book in all of eternity, all of history, that we can go to, and it can pierce the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrows. And it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. There's no other book like it. There's no other manuscript, no other scripture, no other writing like the Word of God. And we see it. Father, I pray that you would help us to rightly divide it this morning. You would help us to encourage your people. Father, that you would use your word to show them things that you've shown me. And Father, that you would strengthen this body, that we might be ministers, that we would minister Christ, that we would love people, and Father, that we would be a sweet-smelling savor to you. Lord, I pray you would help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, as we have gone through now listing some of these giftings, that as you receive the Holy Ghost, that you will then inherit as a child of God, we now have gotten to ministry. I think first we need to define ministry and what it actually means here in Scripture. We'll go obviously there to Romans 12, 7, where it says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And you can see that portion of Scripture that's italicized there, that let us wait, is what we would see as added to the Scripture to give some deeper clarification on what it is being penned here. If you were to read this without those italicized words, it would say, our ministry on ministering. But the writers of the King James decided to place, let us wait on our ministering, to give us a little more depth of what it is that Paul is trying to say here. That word ministry is diakonia, which refers to the spiritual gift of practical service. It's focusing on meeting the tangible needs within the church community. It has a similar connotation, a similar role to that of the deacon. It is a ministry of giving, meeting needs, but it's even deeper than that. It signifies a humble, active, devoted work, such as administration, helping, supporting, and it's done to build up the body of Christ rather than recognition. If you want a title for the message this morning, it is Ministry, a Sweet Savor of Christ. If you would, then, let's turn into our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. And this is where our context verse will come out of this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I'm going to read this entire chapter and then we'll get into the message. This is Paul, obviously penning this letter. This is the second letter to the church there at Corinth. The first letter addresses a lot of carnality, a lot of church discipline, a lot of things were happening at the church in Corinth. They were saved, they were believers, born again, but there was still a lot of worldliness that was taking place inside of that church. So now the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to them, and he has some things that he also needs to say and address. And what I've seen in this portion of Scripture here, especially in 2 Corinthians 2, this portion of the letter to the church there at Corinth, is I see the heart of Paul in ministry. And that's something that I want to pull out of this portion of Scripture, that we could understand what ministry is a little fuller and a little deeper. Because whenever I say ministry, a lot of you guys go, I already know what that is. Especially you that have been believers for long enough, that have known Christ for long enough, many of you that have served in this church for long enough, you understand or at least have some grasp upon what ministry is. So I want to go a little deeper, and this is what the Lord has shown me, is that I want to go in to the heart of the Apostle Paul and the way that he views ministry and hopes that it's a help to you as you serve. So verse number 1, chapter 2, it says, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So the contrary wise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would not confirm your love, that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant to his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak we in Christ. Like I said, the title for the message this morning is Ministry, a Sweet Savor of Christ. The Apostle Paul has to address some things within the church there at Corinth. And he starts this letter and he gets to this point where there's some things that have taken place within the church. And he pens this letter first saying that, listen, right now my heart's heavy. And it's heavy because of the things that I've seen. And from what I understand in this scripture, many have relayed this back to the man there in the first letter to the Corinthians that was in a grievous sin. And Paul had instructed the church in church discipline and instructed them that essentially if he did not repent of his sin, that he should be shunned from the church, that he should no longer be allowed, that Satan should be allowed to buffet that man. And many speculate that that is what Paul is pinning about here. Either that or there was an offense the last time Paul was with the church at Corinth and they church punished whoever this was. And they've essentially ostracized them and shunned them from the church. But this man has since repented. And after his repentance, there is still this kind of pushing away, the shunning of the church. And it grieves the heart of Paul. This is my admonishment to the church this morning, is that we don't find ourselves in this same place. Is that we forgive quickly. That if someone were to come to us repentive, that we would reestablish fellowship quickly. Because the Apostle Paul had a heaviness in his heart. He literally wept because of these things taking place in the church here at Corinth. He wept over it. There seemed to be this person that was ostracized and shunned that many probably were talking about and saying things about and different things transpiring within the church. And he gives them this warning. He says, if you continue in these things, you're going to give an avenue for Satan. You're going to give an avenue for the devil. He's going to come in and he's going to influence some things. That there's going to be bitterness, there's going to be backbiting, there's going to be gossip and grumbling within the church. Brothers and sisters, as long as I stand behind this pulpit and as long as God helps me, that will not happen here. Because there's a heaviness that comes with it for the man that stands behind this pulpit. He went to these people because they were the ones, they were the source of his joy. He wanted to rejoice with them, but he couldn't because of this heaviness. That there is, if there are brothers and sisters that come, that we would quickly forgive, that we would quickly reestablish fellowship, and that our joy might be full. There must be joy here at Rochetale Baptist Church, or else this ministry is going to be heaviness and sorrow. That's a side note, but I couldn't hardly preach without saying that. Ministry is one of the most misunderstood words in all of Christianity. We look at ministry and we think of ministry as a platform or a tic-tac, Brother Jonathan and I like to say. It's what's publicized. It's what's aired out. It's a spotlight or a title or even this pulpit. That's what most Christians believe ministry is. But Scripture, as I see it, paints ministry in a much different light. Ministry is something much lower. It's something quiet. It's something sacrificial. It's something that if you were to really get involved in, is deeply spiritual. It's not something that men can do in the might of their own strength, but it's something that must be relied upon. And we must rely upon Christ. Romans 12, as we started reading through and as we started studying, what have we noticed? I've noticed that Romans 12 isn't written just to pastors. It isn't written just to evangelists. It isn't written just to missionaries. But who is it written to? It's written to the church. So whenever Paul says our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, he's literally saying, if God gave you the grace to serve, then serve. Faithfully, patiently, consistently. And whenever we take Romans 12:7 and Romans 12, and we lay it then next to 2 Corinthians 2, we start to understand what ministry really is. We understand what ministry feels like because we see the heart of the Apostle Paul in ministry. We see what ministry cost us because there's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be things that we have to give up. And then we start to see what ministry starts to produce in the spiritual realm. Because understand that it's not against flesh and blood in which we war. We will war against principalities and powers and workers of evil in high places. Whenever you really start to get into ministry, brothers and sisters, there is going to be a battle. And it's not one that you and I can see with our eyes most of the time. It is a spiritual war. So do not take lightly if you are to get into ministry. We are all called to it. Every one of us are called to share the gospel of Jesus. Ministry is a faithful service. This isn't something that you do on occasion. And we see it here in Romans 12:7. The Apostle Paul says, let us wait on our ministering. That word wait has often been mistranslated, but if you do take that down to translation, that word wait means to attend to devote yourself to stay in, and to be consistent even whenever unseen. He says, our wait on your ministering. What the Apostle Paul is saying here is that you are to devote and to attend and to be consistent in what it is that God has called you to do. Paul's saying that ministry isn't something that you just visit on occasion, but it's something that you live out in your life. 1 Corinthians 15:58, at the end of the first letter to the church there at Corinth, the Apostle Paul encourages them to always abound in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Colossians 3:23, he says, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. True ministry looks much different than what we think. True ministry looks like changing diapers. My wife does things in ministry I can never do. And I'm not saying because I don't like changing poopy diapers, because that's true too. But there's things that she does that I can't do. There's things that you all do that I can't do. But ministry looks like changing diapers. It looks like training up your children and your grandchildren. It looks like the things that are unseen, that you see as everyday mundane things of life. That's ministry. That's what it looks like. It looks like mothering. It looks like fathering. It looks like teaching. It looks like discipling. But we see ministry as just the man that stands behind the pulpit or the missionaries out in the field. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, the moment you step through the threshold of your home, you're a minister of Christ. You're a minister. Ministry looks like leading quietly. There's something about a man or a woman that leads quietly, that brings peace to the church. There's peace. You know who I'm talking about. Each and every one of us can think of some mentor in our life that has led their life quietly. And there's some stillness there. There's solace there. It's showing up whenever nobody thanks you. Whenever you're not acknowledged. Whenever nobody comes and shakes your hand and pats you on the back, but you still show up because it's what you're called to do. It's those secret times of prayer. It's those moments of prayer whenever nobody else sees, but you're praying for the body. You see a brother or sister in need, and maybe you don't have it monetarily. Maybe you don't have it physically, but you go into your prayer room and you go on your knees before the Lord and you pray on their behalf. It's whenever you pray and it's unseen. You're not standing in the streets. And it's serving whenever nobody notices. Whenever you do things in secret, there is great reward. We don't always have to be seen with our ministry. In all honesty, I'd rather not. Because I know that greater is my reward from Him than either any of you. As much as I love you all and as much as I'm encouraged by you, I'd much rather have reward from Him. Because it's one that lasts eternally. Ministry is not about the visibility. Ministry is about obedience. Ministry also carries an emotional weight, a spiritual weight. And if you've not seen that weight, you probably haven't served a ministry for very long. Paul then, he comes to the church here at Corinth and he shares his heart. And that's what I want to get to some this morning. So you understand exactly what it is, the weight of ministry and what that looks like. And again, my heart is the same as the Apostle Paul here, that I don't want to come with heaviness. But in reality, there is weight whenever you start to realize what it is that God has asked you to do. Because eternity hangs in the balance. Souls hang in the balance. We are to be those that water. We are to be those that plant. God is the one that gives the increase. But brothers and sisters, we're called to the harvest. We're called to tend the fields. If you've ever done that, it is not easy work. It takes labor. It takes diligence. It takes effort. Here in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul isn't writing like some celebrity preacher. He's not writing like some well-known man that stands up on Sundays on television. He's coming to these people as a broken-hearted shepherd in heaviness and sorrow. And he's telling them, listen, I don't want to be like this. I want to come in joy, but there is just weight in ministry because as you shepherd, you understand in and of yourself is no good thing, but then you look out upon a people that are also fallen, that are also broken, that also hurt, that also have trial, that also have heartache. And there's a heaviness to it. Like I said, if you haven't felt that, you haven't been doing this for very long. There is something about whenever a brother or sister passes away that you love dearly. And you minister the funeral. Or you love on their loved ones. There's something about whenever someone you love and you care about leaves. There's something about whenever someone you love or care about falls into sin or backslides. There's something about even the believer that is faithful, but something happens in their life. And yet you're there to help carry the burden. There's a weight to this. 2 Corinthians 2:4 says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." This is ministry. It's not always victorious. It's not always about the numbers. It's not always about applause. Sometimes ministry looks like weeping over people who won't listen. For loving people even whenever they misunderstand you. And for standing whenever you're spiritually exhausted. Whenever it just wears you out. And yet you're still faithful. And that's what I'm looking at right now. I've seen it. It's standing whenever you're tired. That's ministry. That's real ministry. It isn't all the things that we see on TV. It isn't all the stuff and all the facade and all the things that happen. Real ministry is whenever the rubber hits the road and that the only sufficiency you have is Christ. Whenever He is it. Whenever you can't eat or drink or sleep because your heart is so broken for your loved ones, for your family, for your church, for others' sorrow. That's real ministry. And that's what the Apostle Paul is showing us here in this letter. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Again, if ministry hasn't broken your heart yet, you probably haven't carried it for long enough. There is also joy. I'm not here to humbug. There's also much joy in ministry. That's why the Apostle Paul, he says, I want to rejoice with you. How should I grieve those that I come to for joy? You are the source of joy. Do you understand that? There's a reason why Brother Jonathan often says, let's take a minute and shake hands. And I stood up here and I just listened. It brings joy to my heart. There's joy in serving with one another even. Imagine the ministries. Remember those times that we spent out in the freezing cold setting stuff up or tearing stuff down. And we just fellowship with one another. And there's joy there. There's joy. You are the source of my joy. Christ in you. You're the source of my joy. Ministry releases a spiritual fragrance. This is one of those that honestly I've read this. And it wasn't until a couple of nights ago that we were sitting and doing our evening reading and I read this scripture. And I had seen all this stuff before. But I got to this verse here. And do you realize that our ministry is a savor? It's a sweet fragrance to God. That brought joy to me. That I can be a sweet smelling savor to God. That the ministry is sweet to Him. It's a pleasing fragrance to Him. That even in trial and even in some of this heartache, that the Apostle Paul, he had this right. That we can be a sweet smelling savor. Maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. There's a smell that ministry produces. And if there's a sweet savor, that also means there must be one that isn't so sweet. But this morning, we're going to talk about that sweet savor of Christ. When you serve faithfully in ministry, Christ is made known through you. Heaven recognizes it because it says that we are a sweet savor of Christ, that we are to God a sweet smelling savor. And if heaven recognizes it, so does hell. So does our enemy. Why do you think it is that Scripture says that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities? There is a spiritual battle that takes place whenever you stand in your ministry, whenever you serve in your ministry. There's something and forces that will come against you. But it's worth it. People respond to it. And they respond either as drawn to Christ or they oppose it. They're repelled by it. Verse 16, it gives us the sobering reality that to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Real ministry draws some people to life and then it pushes some people away. And you've noticed that. If you've been ministering for very long whatsoever, you'll notice that some people come to Christ and others push him away. Jesus did the same thing. Some followed Jesus willingly. They laid down their lives for Christ. They left everything behind. They dropped their fishing nets and they followed Jesus. And then others crucified him. Some followed Jesus and others crucified him. If everybody loves your ministry, you're probably not preaching Christ. You're preaching comfort. Once again, brothers and sisters, as long as I stand behind this pulpit, I will preach Christ. And my encouragement is that you will as well. That our ministry isn't comfort. There is comfort in knowing Jesus. That's not what I'm meaning. But we are to preach Christ and Him crucified. That's your call. That's your ministry. It may look like comfort. It may be you coming in and holding the arms up. It may be you coming in and weeping with others. We see it in Romans 12. You weep with those that weep and you rejoice with those that rejoice. That might be what ministry looks like. But if it's devoid of Jesus, it's all fallen down. And Paul ends with this question. He says, who is sufficient for these things? Do you want to know the answer? It's not you. It's not me. Only Christ through us is sufficient for these things. 2 Corinthians 3:5, it says, our sufficiency is of God. John 15:5, Jesus says, you can do nothing without me. Ministry becomes impossible if it's ran off your personality alone. Ministry becomes impossible if it's run off your energy alone. If it's run off your talents alone. Ministry only works when it's run off of God's grace, our surrender, and our absolute dependence on the sufficiency of Christ. So, what ministry really looks like? It looks like consistency even without recognition. It says, let us wait on our ministering. It looks like loving people enough to hurt for them. The Apostle Paul says, out of much affliction and many tears. It looks like living a life that carries Christ. Living a life that is walking with Jesus. It's a life that is a sweet savor of Christ. And it looks like depending completely on God's sufficiency. He says, who is sufficient for these things? Ministry isn't a title, it isn't a stage, it isn't a pulpit, it isn't your following, it isn't a paycheck. Ministry looks like faithful obedience. It looks like Christ flowing through you. It looks like serving where God has placed you. And then it looks like carrying the fragrance of Christ into dark places. That's what ministry looks like. Because the world does not need more performers. It doesn't need more preachers on television. It doesn't need more personalities. The world needs more people that have a savior of Christ. So if God has given you a ministry, be faithful in that ministry. Wait on your ministry. That means to be diligent. That means to attend to. That means to devote to be sacrificial in. It doesn't mean to wait and sit on your hands. It's not the interpretation of that. It means that you devote your life to it. It's my encouragement this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you that we can see the heart of the Apostle Paul. Lord, and we feel it. We understand it. We know it as a church. Lord, I pray that you would help us to wait on our ministering, that we would devote our lives sacrificially to what it is that you've asked us to do. I pray for your help. Lord, I pray that you be present in the life of my brothers and sisters, that you be an ever-present help in time of need. Father, that you would help them to see and to understand your sufficiency. Father, we have so much at our disposal, so many things to distract us, so many things to even give our lives and our strength to. But Father, I pray for your help. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would then devote themselves back to you. That even this morning, after hearing this message, that they would devote themselves back to the service of Christ, that they would be a savor of Christ. I pray that same thing for my life. Lord, I'm just doing it publicly. I pray for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.